I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, February 18th, and we are going through off-season priorities for every single team. Today is the NFC East. You can check out a chat with Jonathan Jones in the feed as well. We'll have a mailbag mañana. And if you would like to have a question answered in a future mailbag, leave a five-star review on Apple Podcast. We'll do mailbags on Friday in the off season. And so you can do a review now, ask the question, and we'll probably get to you next week, because that's about how long it takes to populate on the old feed. Joining me now to talk about the NFC East and what these wacky teams will do this off season. We got a good one, because we got two guys who know the division very well, Cody Benjamin, Jared Dubin. Cody, nothing to talk about really with the NFC East, right?
Absolutely not. But I will tell you, I feel extra special because this is my first episode with Dubin. But I did notice that this also accentuates the fact that I can't grow a beard, because I'm now looking at two guys with full beards.
I know. I thought, Debo, I told you that Dubin was not allowed back on until he trimmed his beard to be less robust than mine. But just kidding, dude.
I was going to shave right after the Super Bowl, but now I'm thinking I might go till I get the vaccine.
Okay. Well, is that imminent? I think I'm going to shelter in place. Just let this thing fly over.
It might be a while.
Turns out that, anyway, we don't need to get into the vaccine discussion. Let's get into the vaccine. So every Tuesday and Thursday for the next month, we'll be looking at these, the various divisions and talking about their offseason priorities. We're going in order of draft position, which means that the team that picks highest, will be discussed first. And somehow, that is the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC East. My goodness. Their Super Bowl odds, 50-1 in 2021. NFC odds, 22-1. They are selecting sixth overall. They would have been ninth. I think people remember that week 17 game against the Giants. They also have the 37th pick and the 70th pick, and a host of free agents. But Cody, I think we all know. And by the way, we're recording this on, earlier in the week. So, if for some reason Carson Wentz got traded, and it's possible that he got traded between now and the drop of the episode, please bear that. Please keep that in mind. But we are operating under the assumption that he will be traded, and what a mess the Eagles have in their hands, Cody.
Yeah, I mean, we talked all throughout the 2020 season about how it would be an embarrassment to finish last in that embarrassment of a division. And I think that, you know, that embarrassment has continued, because I think, What a big fall from Super Bowl champions a few years ago to where they are now. And I think, it really is a laughingstock, because I don't know that it's getting, as much attention as it should. The handling of, you know, your premier position at quarterback, their roster situation, the salary cap, they're one of the worst teams in the NFL in terms of cap space. I think they're, you know, just ahead of just the Saints. Yeah, the pathways to playoff contention in 2021 are pretty slim, even in this division. I mean, just because, you know, Jalen Hurts, a very unproven quarterback. We saw, some upside in four games, but that's a four game sample size. Whole new coaching staff. I mean, some of these coaches are barely older than the players on the roster. I mean, it is extremely young. And then you're talking about, they're going to have to dump a lot of contracts this offseason on top of figuring out what they're doing under center. So There's no easy way. You know, even if Wentz is not traded by the time this drops, there's no not messy solution to the quarterback situation in Philadelphia.
Yeah, Dubes, it's dicey. I mean, it does seem. I mean, I don't. I mean, like it's crazy. We'll talk about the Cowboys in a minute, but it's like, how did we get to this spot where it's like Goff traded and Wentz likely traded? Now Dak's the best quarterback out of that draft by far and away, assuming that the Cowboys can re-sign him. But I mean, for the Eagles, I mean, you're really like you are hitching your wagon to a talented but still fairly unproven Jalen Hurts if you make this deal, and that leaves me a little anxious about the quarterback position.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm more anxious, honestly, about the rest of the roster. Like Cody brought it up, they got to cut ties with so many guys just to get their salary cap back in order. And if they trade Wentz, that's going to accelerate some of his cap hit. It'll make his cap hit even higher. I think it's like $35 million if they trade him, unless they make the other team to agree to not do the deal until after June 1st, which seems pretty unlikely just because it is not beneficial for the other team in any way. So they're just going to have to cut.
Well, and just, you know, if you did that deal where it wasn't until, you'd have to finagle the draft picks too. Then the Eagles would not technically control their draft picks. So I don't even know that you can realistically plan to do that. I mean, like you can technically, but like the idea of letting somebody else make those picks for you in the course of the draft is pretty terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, you could always do future picks instead, like, but obviously you want to get some sort of immediate value, especially because, you know, the roster crunch they're going to be in, like the strength of the team these last few years has just been an incredible depth of talent on the defensive line and on the offensive line, and just having those guys really take over games. And I mean, it doesn't seem like there's really any way to come into the season where they're going to have everybody from those two lines on the roster again. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense financially for them to be able to do that. And without that infrastructure there to provide a baseline, especially for Hurts, or if they decide to go in another direction other than Hurts, like not having that good offensive line that they've had for most of Wentz's career. Granted, this season it was not all that good. I think he made it worse by doing things like not throwing like a 6-yard hitch if the guy was open and trying to make a big play every single time. But for the most part, he's had an infrastructure around him, at least offensive line-wise, to be able to find success inside the pocket. And they've always had a good defensive line for the last 4 years too. And I would bet that they're not going to have quite as good players on those two lines as they have throughout Wentz's career. So it's just a team that's not in quite as good a position to succeed.
All right, Cody. So we know that they need to figure out the quarterback position. Obviously, yeah, we'll have a little more clarity once they figure that out. And that's the number one priority. And it is the number one thing that they're working on. But you know, you mentioned the rest of the talent around them. What would you say is the second biggest priority for you for the Eagles?
Yeah. And just quickly, I know Duve mentioned the possibility of another direction besides Jalen Hurts. I mean, if Carson Wentz is traded, I think that quarterback is definitely in play. I mean, at number six. Now, I don't know what that says to Jalen Hurts, but I mean, again, he was a second round pick. He had 4 games. This is a new coaching staff. I mean, if you're at number six and you have a chance to move up, I mean, you're not often there. And if you ride with Jalen Hurts, some people say like, let's ride with him. And if you're bad, you can pick again a quarterback next year. I don't know if that's true, because if Jalen Hurts is even mildly good, but he's not great, you might win 6, 7, 8 games and you're stuck right in the middle. So, beyond the quarterback position.
No, that's a good point too. And it's also worth noting that, like, relative to, you know, it feels like nowadays we get 3 or 4 good quarterbacks in every draft, or like 3 or 4 guys. It feels like it's easier to get to where you believe a certain quarterback can work. But I mean, this class legitimately does have several good guys that, you could see teams taking in the top 10. Well, you know, obviously Trevor Lawrence going, Zach Wilson from BYU, Justin Fields has been bandied about, and his stock is all over the place. Mac Jones. And then what if you went Trey Lance at 6 and replaced Carson Wentz with another North Dakota State guy?
That would be, I mean, what would the, I'm sure Carson has had conversations with Trey Lance. And I mean, what would the conversation be like? Have fun in Philly. I mean, that's,
It'd be super awkward and awesome.
It'd be really funny, and now I want it to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I really, really, really want it to happen.
Yeah, that would be nice.
But on the quarterback, what are you hoping Howie Roseman gets, you know, when he gets his hands dirty this offseason, what are you looking for?
Well, you know, Dubin mentioned that the Lions are obviously, they've always been kind of building blocks for the foundation there. They should be for every team, but they have been, especially for the Eagles. But, I mean, I look at two of the outside positions, the outside of the field, wide receiver and cornerback, are just blatant needs. I mean, they spent a high pick on Jalen Reagor. I think he was, it's fair to say he was a pretty big disappointment as a rookie. They kind of banked on him over Justin Jefferson to bring big play potential. And boy, would the Eagles love to have Justin Jefferson right now. They need wide receivers. Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson basically locks to be cut. Zach Ertz on his way out. They need some, whether it's Jalen Hurts, Carson Wentz, Justin Fields, whoever's throwing the football, they need somebody to throw the football to besides Dallas Goedert. And so they have some young guys there, but the free agent class, they're not going to have a lot of money to spend, but the free agent class this year at wide receiver is pretty deep. And so if you can fish at the bottom of that, I would do that. And then at cornerback, they paid big money and draft picks to get Darius Slay. He's older, but aside from him, there's really no answer at cornerback. And that's been the case really for a little while with the Eagles, swinging and missing on guys like Sidney Jones, Rasul Douglas. And so, yeah, you could pick, you know, five other spots. They have almost no starting linebackers, either under contract or even the guys that are not really starting caliber. And so you could pick a bunch of spots, but I'm looking at wide receiver and cornerback as positions of big need.
Dubin, is this team terrible? Like, did the Eagles, because like coming into, I don't want to make Cody answer that, coming into like 2020, it's like, look, you know, sure, this division could go any which way, but the Eagles have the most depth across the board. You know, Howie Roseman's created a really deep, you know, talented roster. And now you sort of look at it, you're like, not so sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think the depth is just, the depth is just about to become decimated, like, just because of their financial situation. So I think we have to stop thinking about it as the same Eagles team that we've been thinking of for the last 4 or 5 years. It's just not going to be that team anymore. It's going to be a lot of bare bones. Like, there's, like Cody said, there's no talent at linebacker, no talent at receiver, almost no talent at cornerback. They're about to get both of their lines thinned out on both sides of the ball. I mean, granted, we've seen teams make a jump in one offseason before, but usually it's teams with a lot more capital, not just draft capital, but also free agent capital, that are able to make significant changes to their roster. And the Eagles are not going to be able to make significant changes by upgrading and paying premiums. They're going to have to downgrade and pay, you know, wait until the second and third wave of free agency to really go get anybody. And that's obviously, you know, you get better value that way, just in terms of, you know, maybe you're not subject to the compensatory pick formula, maybe you're not overpaying for the first guy off the board, but you're also likely to get not quite as premium talent when you do that and you wait. And then obviously, you know, they have a high draft pick at number 6, but it's not like they have, you know, multiple firsts or multiple picks in the second round where they have like this great wealth of picks that they're going to be able to choose from to upgrade their talent, you know, multiple times near the top of the board. It's, you know, that's a pretty standard draft for them. So I do think it's going to be pretty difficult, and we should probably think of this as a much different team that we have over the last few years. So I don't know that I would say they're terrible, but I don't think we should come into the season thinking like the Eagles are still, you know, the deepest team in the NFC East and they're going to, you know, right away, no matter what, be a contender. Like, I think it's going to be not necessarily a while, but it's just going to be a struggle for them to get back to the kind of team that we thought they were the last few years.
Yeah. And I'll add too really quickly that if the return for Carson Wentz ends up being closer to what I think it will be than what some people prognosticated earlier this offseason, then I'm not sure that the Eagles are going to be exactly loaded with draft picks. Like, the idea that they're getting 2 first round picks for Wentz is hilarious. Wow. And it always is hilarious to me. Like, I didn't get that. And yeah, I think 2 more second round picks, like, that's a big win too. But, you know, I think you still want, you know, they have a lot of work to do on this roster.
I just want to jump in quickly and say too, we barely even touched on the fact that they've got a first time head coach. I mean, we're talking about their roster, and yet, you know, Nick Sirianni is coming in, with this mess of a roster and quarterback situation too. So it's now, I don't want to sidetrack us too much, but you said you don't think they're going to get that return. If the returns don't come in above a couple of second round picks, are you making the trade, whether or not Carson Wentz is happy or not?
I don't, I mean, no, but I don't know what you do. Like, I mean, I don't know. I would be like, look, Carson, you're playing, bro. Like, we fired Doug Peterson. We brought in Sirianni. Like, we paid you a ton of money and you're going to hose our cap situation. Like, just suck it up, quit staring at the statue of Foles and play some football.
I'd do it. Your cap's annihilated anyway, whether or not you trade Wentz. You might as well do it all at once rather than dragging out the pain.
I do agree with that. The idea that, like, rip the band-aid. Because I was doing radio in Raleigh this week, and somebody asked me, like, how could they possibly deal with that cap charge? It's like, you just rip the band-aid. Rip the band-aid and just deal with it. All right, the Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys had obviously a very disappointing 2020 season. They are 30-1 to win the Super Bowl this year, 14-1 to win the NFC, and they have the number 10 overall pick along with 44 and 75. Of course, everything, Dubin, like with the Eagles, it starts with the Cowboys. It starts with the quarterback position, and when you send in the priorities here, number one was easy. Sign Dak.
Yeah, sign Dak, and I believe I wrote number two was nothing else matters if they don't sign Dak because they're going to have to start over at quarterback, and that's the only thing that'll matter.
Nihilist Dubin. Nothing else matters. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, look, you want to just queue up the video from last summer when they didn't sign Dak and I went on like a 10-minute rant. Just put that up for this whole section and we don't have to talk about anything else.
Did you hear Mike Tannenbaum say on Get Up that that the Cowboys should sign Dak and then trade him for Deshaun? I know.
I don't need to address Mike Tannenbaum, who is most well known for squandering assets and trades. So that's a pretty good idea from him right there. But
what do you think? So other free agents include Xavier Woods, Jordan Lewis, Alden Smith, Joe Looney, Andy Dalton, who was kind of important last year, Chidobe Awuzie, Tyron Crawford, Antoine Woods, and Sean Lee. Man, are they losing a lot of, I don't know. I don't know if I feel like the Cowboys, like, it really does. Dak is the key. Are you giving him the $40 million over 3 years that he wants?
Yes.
Okay. No question. Just like, you think Jerry should just be like, Dak, what do you want? Here it is.
Should have done that 2 years ago.
I don't disagree with that. Cody, you're an Eagles fan. So naturally the best way to figure out what the Cowboys should do is to ask you what you don't want to happen.
Well, I think it's pretty apparent. It's funny that a lot of the talk is about Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott because it was a debate before, but there is no debate anymore. I mean, it's very apparent. And I think,
Dan Orlovsky for a podcast, friend of the podcast, and taking an L on that one, buddy.
Yeah. I think that, I don't know that Eagles fans would admit it, but the idea of Dak Prescott in an Eagles uniform, with a good roster around him is kind of enticing because the guy has been a steady quarterback. I mean, I think Dubin's right. I think Dallas has put themselves certainly not in the situation the Eagles are in, but it's still a little bit messy because you're getting close to Kirk Cousins territory a few years ago. Washington played the dance for a few years and, it the longer it goes, the more inevitable. You're paying out more money than you need to right away. And yet the long-term security isn't there. And so, yeah, I mean, that's the market value for him. I mean, if he hadn't got hurt, I mean, he was on pace. Correct me if I'm wrong, but those were, the numbers were going to be pretty insane.
He was on pace for like 8,000 passing yards at one point.
Yeah.
And like part of that was the Cowboys being terrible on offense and defense early in games and getting in big deficits and having to chunk it all over the place. But like, you can look at this Cowboys roster and as long as you have Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy doesn't suck as a head coach secretly, yeah, I mean, this team's going to score points. Like, they're just going to score points. I mean, they have Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and CeeDee Lamb. Do you think there's any chance Amari Cooper is cut?
No, not this offseason.
Okay.
Like, I think that after this season, they'll have to make a decision between Amari and Gallup, who they want to keep going forward, because Gallup will be eligible for a new contract, and Amari will have no more guaranteed money left. Mm-hmm. So after that, I think there'll be some sort of decision point. Do they want to keep one? Do they want to keep both? Which one do they want to keep? Are they going to try to get another wide receiver in there? Some of that depends on what happens, obviously, this year. Some of it depends on what happens with CeeDee Lamb, whether they decide to only play him in the slot or play him outside also.
I didn't mean this offseason. I meant next. Yeah. Look at it. Like the contract, it'd be 20. They they wouldn't cut him this offseason. But next offseason, it does feel like there's a decent chance they move on.
Yeah, it's him or Gallup next offseason, I would think. I just don't know that they're going to go more than one more season with all three of those guys on the roster. Just financially, it might not make too much sense for them. But, I mean, again, it's just they've only cost themselves by doing this. They broke the bank at literally every position except for quarterback. They gave their guys top-of-market deals at every position, including while Dak was eligible for a contract extension, the two least important positions in football other than, like, punter and kicker, where they gave it to a running back and an off-ball outside line or inside linebacker. Like, and those now look like two of the worst contracts in the league. And, like, yeah, neither one of those players is the best player on the team at that position.
If they don't pay up this offseason, will they ever?
No, I mean, even if they want to, there's going to be no incentive for Dak to take it because so this year he'd get like whatever it is, 37, 39 million on the franchise tag, which would mean the next year, if they wanted to tag him for a third time, it's like upwards of $50 million, yeah, which means that the baseline for any deal for him is going to start at $50 million a year.
Right. I mean, well, you're,
which means he's going somewhere else.
Like, you're starting it. Like, I mean, even right now, when you go in the negotiation, you're like, listen, if you want to keep Dak for the next 2 years, you're shelling out $88 million or like $90 million fully guaranteed. That's $45 million a year. Do, yeah, you think that we're going to take $35 million a year? No. Or, like, how can you be this rich and be this unintelligent when it comes to doing math on a contract, man?
Especially like they were asking for like 30 2 years ago. Like, right.
It's really botched. You know, the one thing I think when you look at, like, you look at the Eagles roster and you're like, wow, this went downhill fast. When you look at the Cowboys roster, you're like, man, that is a stars and scrubs roster if I've ever seen one. And that's how Jerry Jones likes to build his rosters. But if you have a stars and scrubs roster and your quarterback, you don't have the quarterback, you are screwed.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you also lose, you know, two of the five stars from your five-star offensive line to injury within the first couple weeks of the season, one of them to retirement and a fourth to injury later in the season. And the fifth, who was a guy you drafted in the second round, is just not very good. So that basically undermined the entire season. And that and just they really had no clue what they were doing defensively. They tried to make a scheme switch from, you know, a very simplified Rod Marinelli and Chris Richard scheme into something more complicated that Mike Nolan wanted to do. I don't actually know what it was he wanted to do. It wasn't really apparent when you watched them, but apparently it was more complicated. So that didn't really work. Now they're going back to
Dan Quinn now, and as the defensive coordinator, I mean, does he have the players to run whatever defense?
No, that's the thing. Like, I mean, you could bring in the best defensive coordinator in the history of the NFL and you wouldn't be able to stop teams with the players that they had last year. You know, they need to get better up the middle. They need to get better on the edge. They need to get better at linebacker, despite paying Jalen Smith and drafting Leighton Van Der Esch in the first round. I don't think you can count on either one of them right now, just because Van Der Esch is hurt all the time the last 2 years. Jalen Smith has dropped off in a big, big way. They only have really one cornerback who looks like an above average player at the position right now. And it's a guy they drafted in the second round last year, and he was very hot and cold last season. They paid Anthony Brown. He wasn't that good last year. Lewis and Awuzie are both free agents now. Xavier Woods took a big step backward last year at safety. So they have Donovan Wilson. He's more of a box safety. They don't have that sideline to sideline center field type that you need to play that cover three that Dan Quinn wants to play. And they've really never invested at that position, just going back like 15, 20 years now. It would be a big change to see them invest in that type of guy. And you really need it to play in the scheme that Dan Quinn has typically wanted to play. And they don't just need that. You know, they need at least one more corner. They need, you know, another edge guy aside from DeMarcus Lawrence. Like, Randy Gregory played really well, but I think we've seen over the past several years, you can't count on Randy Gregory to be on the field, you know, and they definitely need to get better up the middle. I mean, their most consistent guys at defensive tackle the past few years have been Tyrone Crawford and Antoine Woods. Neither one of them has been consistently all that good, and they're both free agents.
I still think the Cowboys, I mean, I don't know if this is a popular opinion, though, but wouldn't you say they're still the favorites going into this year?
Because I mean, they just have so much more offensive talent than any of the other teams in the division.
They have the quarterback. I mean, they don't have it figured out long term, but they have the quarterback situation, and that is a big step above all these other teams. So.
So. Yeah, I mean, it basically boils down to we think that the Cowboys are not dumb enough to just completely let Dak Prescott walk.
Who's in Dallas longer, Mike McCarthy or Dak Prescott?
I think Dak Prescott. You just got to pay him. Just pay Dak Prescott. What is the matter with you, Jerry Jones? Like, just give him the money he wants and move on with it. If I were
Do you think it's Jerry or Steven? Like, Steven's been the guy running the contract negotiations the past few years. Like,
might be Steven.
You know?
I mean, Jerry traditionally will give his guys whatever they want.
Yeah.
And like, Dak is his guy. Like, he has snookered the entire free world into believing that he identified Dak's immense level of talent and sought him out in the draft, even though he tried to take Paxton Lynch, failed. Tried to take Connor Cook, failed. Like he got outmaneuvered by John Elway and Mark Davis. And so then he had to turn to the only quarterback left on his board, Dak Prescott, who they then buried behind Kellen Moore on the depth chart in the preseason before Moore broke his leg. And then Romo gets hurt and they were like, well, it's like the Cowboys are screwed. They got to play Dak and he wins rookie of the year. I mean, it's a joke. Like he's just stumbled, just like falling back asswards into a giant pile of money. That's all it is. I don't know why that was my turn to rant. That was
I do remember that 2016 offseason. I actually wrote something. Someone sent it to me like after that season when Dak had a good rookie year. Someone sent me something that I had written in like March where I was like, did the Cowboys tip their hand about which quarterback they want? Because they had met three times with Dak Prescott.
Oh, wow. You know, I actually wrote something in August where I ranked the Cowboys dead last that year in terms of the backup quarterback situation.
It made sense. Like,
all right, let's take a break. And when we come back, the other two NFC East teams. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The New York Giants find themselves – I don't know where the Giants are. They're weird because Giants fans don't know either because the Giants brought back Dave Gettleman, a source of great consternation for many Giants fans. I would assume as an Eagles and Cowboys fan, you're like, yeah, bring back Gettleman. Joe Judge had an up and down first year, but I think he got a lot of effort out of a team that probably shouldn't have been as good. They are 75-1 to win the Super Bowl, 35-1 to win the NFC. They had the 11th pick, the 42nd pick, and the 76th pick. And by the way, I mean, they were, a Nate Sudfeld away from making the playoffs and you know, getting to host, Maybe they take out Tom Brady. Who knows? You know, who knows? Probably not, but a lot of free agents here. Cameron Fleming, Leonard Williams, Dalvin Tomlinson, Tyler Frackel, Wayne Gallman, Deion Lewis, Colt McCoy, Devontae Freeman, Alfred Morris. Okay. That's just a bunch of free agent running backs that they shouldn't sign, but David Gettleman probably will. Go ahead, Cody.
What's
your top priority for the Giants?
Well, I mean, you mentioned the Nate Sudfeld thing. I mean, if you believe Joe Judge, that's going to be enough to inspire them, you know, this whole season, the way that were upset about that. I think, the Dave Gettleman return, I think is, is probably the biggest thing, I guess, holding the Giants back. And, you know, they've already kind of committed to Daniel Jones publicly, or at least Joe Judge has. And so I think the priority should be, well, first of all, to clear cap room. I mean, they've got some overpaid veterans there. Nate Solder, Golden Tate, guys that I think Evan Engram could be on the trading block or should be. But the priority, if Daniel Jones is coming back, is building around him. I don't know where you guys fall in the Daniel Jones camp. I don't know that I'm firmly in it, but I don't know if I'm...
I don't know where I fall either.
I don't know if I'm all the way out yet either. I think he's shown some stuff with his legs. He's obviously been, I don't know, with some pretty vanilla or bad offensive coordinators. If you could go out and spend big at wide receiver, you know, get somebody that can actually, he can actually trust throwing the ball to. If you can fix up the offensive line, these are all easier said than done. You know, Patrick Graham's defense was, I think, better than expected. I just think you have to build around him if you're going to make him the focal point moving forward.
I think that the Giants offensive coordinator is great. One of my favorite coaches of all time. I think he should stay with the Giants for a really long time. And just lead them into the future.
And if and when Joe Judge is relieved of his duties, elevate that offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Jason Garrett, of course.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen evidence, I think, that he's just a terrific coach and makes all the right decisions and is not stuck in 1992. So I think it's a great job. But, no, I mean, I think that at wide receiver, like, the biggest thing is they just need their three guys to be healthy at the same time. They haven't really had Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, and Golden Tate all healthy at once. Like, there's talent there, but they're just never on the field all at once. You know, they do need some depth there because those guys, like, tend to get hurt, you know? So you got to have guys that stay on the field. They definitely need more on the offensive line. You know, with Jones – I think he's shown one of the most important skills for a quarterback, just in terms of being able to make something happen on his own with the play, when the play breaks down, whether it's by scrambling or just by buying himself time and throwing, you know, whether stepping up or outside the pocket. But, you know, basically all of the other things that you need to show to be a good quarterback, he hasn't shown. He hasn't shown accuracy. He hasn't shown the ability to, you know, get his protections correct. He hasn't shown the ability to, you know, beat blitzes. He hasn't shown the ability to be accurate, to take care of the ball. Like, those are things that are equally, if not more important than being able to do something when the play breaks down. And he hasn't shown those yet, with the exception of a couple of games here and there, certainly not with any consistency. And, you know, do you give him one more year to show that he can do that? Maybe. He has had two different systems in 2 years. He's, you know, played with, you know, a group of breaking down guys around him, whether on the offensive line or at the skill positions in each of his 2 years. But it's not like you should be saying Daniel Jones is the future no matter what. We're going to extend him after next season. Like, I think that we've seen.
Are you picking up his fifth year option?
Yeah. I mean, pick up his, well, let's see what happens this year. You don't have to decide until the third year.
Oh, right.
Yeah, this is year three coming up. So see what happens this year.
It feels like a lot longer. He's only been in 2 years. It feels like so much longer. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think I agree with that. And the Nate Solder thing is really interesting because Solder, I mean, look, I'm not suggesting that him opting out is sort of a dagger to the Giants, because they could have say it's going to be 6.5. If they cut him, it's an extra $6.5 million in dead cap that they're going to like take. If he versus if he had played in 2020, and obviously like he had a very good reason for opting out. He didn't opt out to like push his contract back a year, or anything like that. Like some people might think CJ Mosley might have. But you know, he had concerns, health concerns, and that's why he did it with his family. But for the Giants, like, you know, normally they would be saving $14 million on the cap by cutting him. And I think they probably cut him, right?
For $14 million, I would think.
No, so. Now they're going to save $6 million. Yeah, although if he's a post June 1 cut, they would, yeah, post June 1 or pre June 1. Pre June 1, they save $10.5 million. Post June 1, they save just $6.5 million. That's weird. So, yeah, they would save.
I see it's backwards.
That is backwards. That doesn't make any sense. It's got to be the other way around.
Maybe there's some sort of roster bonus somewhere. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Hold on. I messed that up. Post June 1, cap savings is $10 million. pre-June 1 cap savings is $6 million. So, yeah, I would assume that they make him a post-June 1 cut, but they might, they'll cut him and then designate him post-June 1, but they might need the money before then.
I don't know how you trot him out there and be – I mean, you know, not like their offensive line is great anyway.
Andrew Thomas played a lot better down the stretch.
Yeah, I just don't know how you go after a year off too. Not questioning his decision, but you know, he hasn't played football for a year. Before he played, he wasn't living up to the contract. I don't know how you don't make that move. And
well, they're
and
not out under. And, they are not under the, like, right now, based on Spotrac's calculations, they are not under the cap for 2021. So I mean, they're going to have to make some moves. I think cutting Solder and cutting Golden Tate are probably two likely scenarios. And then that's when you can really, you know, you invest in Andrew Thomas, you're building around Daniel Jones, and you go out and maybe get a wide receiver early in this draft. We've seen Dave Gettleman pull the trigger on a wide receiver weapons for Cam Newton when he was in Carolina when they were desperate for him. So it would make a lot of sense if he did that now.
Weapons? Would we describe like Kelvin Benjamin and Devin Funchess as weapons? I think one other important thing, by the way, both, you mentioned it earlier, Leonard Williams and Dalvin Tomlinson are both free agents. I would expect that one or the other will probably not be back, but it would be good to get one of them signed before the franchise tag deadline so you can try to get something for the other one if you're not able to get them signed, you know?
Well,
so,
don't forget that Dave Gettleman's like the king of doubling down on his, throwing bad money, good money after bad.
They drafted Dexter Lawrence too, and he's good. All three of them are good players, like, oh, it's such a waste.
But I'm saying, like, he traded a second round pick for Leonard Williams and then franchise tagged him, and Leonard Williams had the career year. I can't imagine Dave Gettleman letting Leonard Williams leave. Like, what are you going to do? Like, you give up a second round pick and franchise tag a guy so you can make it to week 17 with an outside shot to, like, sneak into the, you know, like.
So then we think Talvinson's leaving? Talvinson.
Tomlinson. Yeah, I would think, I mean, Tomlinson's a 2017 second round pick too. I mean, that's. The problem is that, and this will test Dave Gettleman tremendously. So they need, as Cody points out, to build around Daniel Jones. But are you really going to let both those hog mollies walk away, Dave? I don't know. I mean, like, I can't see, is he going to let highly invested defensive linemen leave? That's not his MO.
I think one of those is definitely coming back. And I think you're absolutely right that I think Leonard Williams is the more likely. I mean, he seems like the prime candidate for a Dave Gettleman, a big money extension. And then Tomlinson, I don't know if there's the flexibility to try and, you can't do a tag and trade. I mean, they don't have the flexibility to do something like a tag and trade with him, do they? Otherwise, I think he just walks and signs big. They get a compensatory pick down the road.
Yeah. I think that there's one other important question that we haven't talked about yet. Sort of under the radar. Saquon Barkley, extension eligible, my friends, after the third year of his career, going to want an extension. I can guarantee he's going to be one of those guys who's like, you should pay me. That is a big decision for Dave Gettleman. I think everybody knows.
I think the decision is just like, how much is Dave Gettleman going to give Saquon Barkley? Like, again, right. I mean, I wouldn't pay him. But you got, like,
They shouldn't pay him. Being like, oh, they drafted him number two, they have to pay him, is making exactly the same mistake that the team that we just talked about made.
Yeah.
They're going to do it. Like, I don't see any way that they don't. And it's a really, really bad decision.
Like, this offseason, you think they're doing it?
I mean, if he holds out.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, he has a $10 million cap hit in 2021. You could, in theory, use the extension as a way to reduce his cap hit and try to get under the cap. I mean, if you're so inclined to do that. Evan Engram might be gone, by the way. He has no dead money left on his deal.
It's a bad decision.
If I'm a Giants fan, I would be freaking the F out about this all season. But for these reasons, like what Dave Gettleman was on the hot seat coming into this year, obviously. They, you know, people thought there might be a change, but clearly ownership believes in him because he won the titles. He was with the organization when Coughlin and those guys won the titles. My concern would be that because if you're Dave Gettleman, your mindset, and I'm telling you, this is how he's thinking. His mindset is going to be such that he believes he needs to bolster up the standing of the guys that he brought in, the guys that he's the guys he's been in on, like he's going to double down on these guys. And that means you're like, we're going to get Daniel Jones' weapons. So he's going to overdraft a wide receiver for Daniel Jones. It means you got to, like, Saquon Barkley's the face of this franchise. So you pay Saquon Barkley and be like, Leonard Williams, breakout player. We nailed it. And you can see, I can just see Dave Gettleman at the, like, the podium with Leonard Williams be like, y'all told me that this is a bad move, but look at old Leonard now. And he's like, the nerds don't like him because
The computer people don't like interior defensive linemen.
Yeah, but so all of a sudden you double down on a quarterback that people had questions about to begin with. You double down on your running back that you took number two overall, and you double down on the interior defensive lineman that you traded a second round pick for in the franchise tag. It has all the makings of a bad offseason.
Well, then that's an ego torching the franchise, which has happened plenty across the NFL, but this is a crucial point. Like you're talking about, this is a make or break year kind of for Daniel Jones as far as deciding whether you're going to not only exercise the option, but think about maybe extending him down the road.
Yep.
You have an opportunity right here to build around him, but are you going to do that, like you said, by dishing out so much of that money to the defensive tackle because it makes your trade look good, or to the running back because you drafted him high? I mean, he might pull the Dalvin Cook, the whoever, and try and get more money, but would that money be better spent signing? Yes. I don't know. Yeah, there you go.
I mean, Saquon's in the final year of his contract. That came fast.
Like, well, no, he's got the fifth year option too.
Oh, the fifth year option. Yeah, you're right. So,
is your plan?
They have to decide.
They're definitely picking up the option. Come on.
Well, I like Saquon, but what are you – so let's say
– Saquon's awesome.
Yeah, but
– you could get 90% of the production from Devontae Freeman.
Like Wayne Gallman. I mean, ridiculous.
So would you trade in this offseason, like when he's holding out?
Yeah.
Who's trade – somebody give him a first
– although I might trade him after next season if he plays well, so you could get more than you could get for him coming off what he tear his ACL.
Yeah, week one.
Right? No, week two.
Week two.
I think. I remember he had a really bad game in week one.
Yeah.
Against Pittsburgh, but I think he was.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It was Monday Night Football against Pittsburgh. They tore it against the Bears. That's right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. This is not why you don't draft running backs early in the first round, but this is part of it too. Like, you now find yourself, where you're a pot committed to a running back who has immense amount of talent, but is, you know, has had bad stretches and has been injured a bunch, and you're going to have to give him Zeke money if you want him to stick around. He's not going to take some low cost deal just to hang around. Oy, oy. All right, final team in the division, the Washington. Did they change the URL in SportTrack? I was going to bring it up. Is it just Washington? Washington?
I think it's just WAS.
No, that's our lads. That is correct. But
right.
Yeah. Anyway, Washington, dude, in this offseason, if they win the division, they are 60-1 to win the Super Bowl, even after winning the division, because the quarterback position is still very much up in the air. Obviously, they cut Dwayne Haskins last year, 30-1 to win the NFC, 19th overall draft pick. Man, that's a big difference between winning that division and not. 51-74, their top three. Ronald Darby, Brandon Scherff, Cam Sims, Ryan Kerrigan, Dustin Hopkins, Jeremy Sprinkle, and Kyle Allen are all of their top free agents. Your number one priority for them, figure out the long-term plan at quarterback, which I don't think they necessarily did with Taylor Heinicke and the $8 million they gave him.
Yeah, I don't think so either. That's not a long-term. I mean, they gave him a deal for 2 years. Maybe he could be the bridge to whatever is next. Like, clearly, Heinicke, Kyle Allen, Alex Smith, none of these are plans beyond the immediate future. So you got to figure out what you're doing there. If you're kicking the can down the road for another year, I don't think that's necessarily all that wise. You know, they do have a pretty good roster. Their offensive line is pretty good. You got to fill out some depth there. The defensive line obviously is unbelievable. I think they need a little bit of help at corner. But defenses that are really good tend to not stay really good for all that long. There's a window right now while this defense is good and cheap where, you know, you can build up the offense quickly and try to take a shot, and then you can recycle, once you have that offense built up, you can recycle the defensive parts based on who you want to keep and who you don't. But, you know, you gotta get the QB first, and you gotta get the QB somebody to throw to other than Terry McLaurin and, like, to a lesser extent, Logan Thomas. And, you know, you got to involve Antonio Gibson in the passing game instead of throwing, you know, 18 4-yard passes to JD McKissick, who then gets like an extra 1 yard out of it. You know, you gotta use your playmakers to the best of their ability, and you gotta figure out who the guy that's gonna do that is, you know. So quarterback, weapons, offensive line depth, corner, like, is Ryan Kerrigan gonna come back? And if not, how are you gonna replace him? You know, the defensive line is good, but it's not like you're playing four guys for the entire game, you know. You can't just play Sweat, Chase Young, Allen, and Payne every single snap. That's not really how it works in the NFL. And then just, I mean, the biggest thing is just, like, keep getting rid of, you know, the toxic elements of the culture that Daniel Snyder has built there. Nothing else really matters if you don't do that, I don't think.
Mm. Yeah, the Alex Smith thing is really fascinating because he has a $24 million cap hit this year and $10 million in dead cap money, 5.4 if it's post June 1 and they release him. But there's this, you know, it's tricky because, you know, comeback player of the year. All the stuff that he did as part of the team to be a great teammate. You know, he stepped in and played well, you know, off this nearly life-threatening surgery and injury that he had. I get the sense that there is another head coach who just joined the NFL and maybe wondering what Washington plans to do with him and whether or not they're going to release him. Because Urban Meyer, his OG quarterback, Alex Smith in Utah, and you talk about a great mentor for Trevor Lawrence. It would not be surprising at all to me if Urban Meyer was actively eyeing this situation. And so I don't know what Washington does here. They have enough cap space, Cody, where maybe they maybe they get through the draft and see what they can come up with from the quarterback position before they try to do anything with Alex Smith. They were involved in the Matthew Stafford talks, at one point. So, I mean, they're clearly trying to upgrade. Do you think Alex Smith is on this roster next year?
I don't. I think they're moving on, and I think that's the right move. I mean, all things considered, yeah. I think his story was great, but I don't think he was a particularly great quarterback, and that's just who he is right now. I mean, the 18 4-yard passes that Dubin mentioned, I mean, that's mostly an extension of what kind of quarterback Alex Smith had to be this year, or, you know, physically, whatever. You know, yeah, like you said, they're in the Matthew Stafford talks. I think that they're in the market for an upgrade, whether that's a veteran or a rookie. That the unfortunate thing about them winning the division is that they're now, you know, they're not in the top 10 where they can kind of, you know, it's going to take a big move to try and get up for one of those quarterbacks. And so now you're sniffing around guys like Matthew Stafford. I think a guy like Derek Carr is somebody that would be the prototypical Washington veteran quarterback acquisition. You've also got the Jack Del Rio connection on the staff. Again, I don't know if that happens, but you could, you know, there's an argument to be made that with a, you know, a somewhat substantial upgraded quarterback, they're right there with the Cowboys. You know, if the defense is still good. But again, what's the smart play for them? Is it getting a guy like Derek Carr or Matthew Stafford, or is it getting somebody for the future? That's, you know, again, easier said than done. But yeah, long story short, I think Alex Smith is not there. I think it's somebody else.
Yeah, I agree. Here's my question about Alex Smith being the mentor for Trevor Lawrence. What evidence do we have that having a veteran mentor like that at quarterback makes a meaningful difference to a player's career? And if the evidence is Alex Smith, why didn't it translate to Dwayne Haskins? Giving him that much credit for Patrick Mahomes? Like, Patrick Mahomes wasn't going to be good if Alex Smith wasn't there the year before. Like,
oh, and look, like, Andy Reid matters a little bit in this equation too. But I would just say that, yeah. I think that
he's a good guy. I want him to be on a team. I hope he has success. His story was the best story of the year in football to me, I think. Like,
I would say that maybe there's a chance, just throwing this out there, that Dwayne Haskins wasn't,
yeah,
seeking help because he was too busy, sure, going to strip clubs in a pandemic after a football game.
There's as much chance of that as there is that Smith didn't make any meaningful difference for Mahomes. You know, like, if we're going to say he 100% helped Mahomes.
I mean, Mahomes has said he helped him. I mean, like, I'm not trying to say that Alex Smith will cause Trevor Lawrence to be a great quarterback. Just that, yeah, if Trevor Lawrence is coming in and learning Urban Meyer's system, and that it would that Alex Smith is a good choice as a backup there in Jacksonville. If you're assuming Trevor Lawrence will play 16 games and you're assuming that, you know, Alex Smith is cool with that and is willing to help and can help trans. I think
as a resource for understanding the system, I think it makes a lot of sense. If we're pretending that like having, you know, a good quarterback be your mentor matters, I just don't think there's a lot of evidence for that in the history of the NFL or even in the history of Alex Smith. Like, none of Tom Brady's backups has ever been good. None of Peyton Manning's backups were ever good. Who of Drew Brees' backups has gone out to be good?
But my point is different. I'm saying like you want Alex Smith to be the backup because he can help. Right. He'll be what's your point to the resource to help Trevor Lawrence learn the system? That's the key for me. Is you like I don't think that Alex Smith is some QB whisperer, backup QB whisperer. I think he is an accelerant to the learning process for somebody like a Mahomes or a potentially Trevor Lawrence.
It could be. I just don't think that there's great evidence for that in the history of the league.
It's mostly anecdotal. I will give you that. Are you tagged Brandon Scherff last year? I don't know if you can bring him back. You got to give him a big contract. I think he could make that.
If he's not back, they definitely need some help on the offensive line too.
Yeah. Defensively, as you mentioned, I feel like JP Finley said that he thinks Kerrigan is probably going to be gone. Mm-hmm. They got a, you know, at linebacker, they're getting a little thin with all the free agents who are departing, and the secondary is not exactly ideal. I would not be surprised at all if they focused on offense in the draft, like figure out the quarterback position and then focus on improving the offense. Because Terry McLaurin's a stud, but we haven't seen a whole lot of anybody else on that in terms of the wide receiver and Gibson.
I mean, they also just they need a corner other than Kendall Fuller.
Yeah,
like you can't be throwing DeShays or Everett out there all the time.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on the Washington football team?
I just come up with a new name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think they're rolling with WFTs.
Yeah, I agree.
Forever or like really?
I think so too.
I do too. I think it was like a kind of a smash hit.
But the one thing I loved was when you would like play fantasy football and then it would be like touchdown football team.
Yeah. So all right, that's it. That's the NFC East. Great stuff, guys. This is a muddy division. It's not easy. It's going to be fascinating to see where we're at with the NFC East in September of 2021. Because, you know, as we sit right here going into the offseason, there are so many questions like who quarterback for Washington, Wentz, Dak, and then, you know, how big is this Saquon Barkley extension really going to be? Cody, Dibs, thanks for the time. You guys are great. Talk to you later.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.